The Bird Show.
Your girlfriend has lost her mind.
That happened quite a while ago, but what's the latest example?
All right, so I was just telling you really quick what my son requested yesterday. He wants to have a sleepover with Asa, which is Bert's girlfriend's little boy. They're like 6 months apart. They're thick as thieves. They're hilarious. They're freaking frack. They're dumb and dumber. They are so funny together, right?
It's the cutest age, man. We can argue this, but for me, between 2 and 6, the best.
So Jimmy is now requesting a sleepover with Asa, and I was very perplexed because I'm like, how does this kid even know what a sleepover is? And then I forgot there's a Bluey episode where Muffin comes and has a sleepover with Bluey and Bingo, so maybe that's where it's coming from.
Yeah, because I don't think Asa's ready for all that. No. I don't think Jimmy's ready for all that.
Absolutely not. So Bart and I, this was like as we're getting ready for bed and stuff last night, and he's like, he's requesting this sleepover, and I'm like, okay, well, what is a sleepover? Like, what are we going to do? And I had texted her... Jimmy's now requesting a sleepover with Asa. Had no clue Jimmy knew what a sleepover was. When I asked him, he said he and Asa would sleep in our bed, so Bart and I's bed, and they would sleep in between Bart and I, and that Jimmy would cuddle with me and Asa could cuddle with Bart.
He had this whole thing mapped out.
He really did. Ugh. And he was just very matter-of-fact about it, and it was so, so funny. And so then she texted me just a second ago, we should camp in the backyard with them. They would love that. And I'm like, me?
Yeah, she's a little crunchier than I am.
In a tent?
Or you.
Yeah. So I sent a picture of a glamping tent, like, well, my tent looked like this. That's the only way my butt is sleeping outside with two toddlers.
Yeah, she was born during the wrong era, man. She would have been right there at Woodstock, man.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
All right, you guys know, if you listen to the show at all, you know how much I love traveling. Man, that is like my thing, to see different cultures and experiences. I'm always a little bit sheepish about sharing it, though, because the truth of the matter is, man, sometimes it's just out of reach to go on a vacation and travel somewhere. It's expensive.
Very.
Unless you're like a college student, you're willing to spend the nights in hostels where it's going to be $8 and who knows what infection you wake up with the next morning. At least you can go that route. But if not, it's really hard to travel because it's expensive. So I came up with this idea with Bert's Big Adventure about traveling for only $100 for you guys. And man, did they put together some packages. They asked me like, all right, what would be the three places that you'd really want to send people to go to? And at the time, I had just got back from the Dominican Republic. So I told them, look, if you could put some kind of small package together for the Dominican Republic, and I don't know, we offer it for $100, that'd be a fantastic vacation.
Isn't that where you met your lady? Did you meet her in the DR?
It was in DR.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's where the love began. So absolutely. I love that place.
So they put together three different package plans, and each one of them we're going to sell for just $100. It's a raffle ticket for $100. We do this with cars usually. Now we're doing it with life experiences. For me, this is better than a car. These memories, to be honest with you. Car's practical and it's nice, but these memories, man, they can last forever. And now you can have it for $100 and the money is going to Bert's Big Adventure. So the first one they did with this little idea to go to the Dominican Republic, Molly hits me back and she goes, okay, we got it. And I'm like, a trip to the Dominican for $100? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, well, what is it? It's a $10,000 trip to the Dominican Republic.
Wow. All
right. Five nights in a private villa at one of the most exclusive resorts. I recently stayed at this place, Casa de Campo Resort and Villas in the Dominican Republic. It is awesome. If you want to chill, you can chill. If you want to have like this crazy vacation, they will plan it for you. Great place. $10,000 vacation to the Dominican Republic. We're offering it to you guys for a $100 raffle ticket. Then I said, well...
Don't forget to thank who's providing it. Thanks to our longtime supporters, Daniel and Christina Lee.
Appreciate you guys. And then we got Walt Disney World. They're like, look, the trip, Bert's Big Adventure, is about Disney. So if a family wants to take their kids to Disney World, then that's pretty dang expensive. So can we do something with Disney World? So they put together an $8,500 trip to Walt Disney World for you guys.
Dude, it's six nights.
Nice. Six nights at Walt Disney World. Six-night Walt Disney World vacation package. You're going to stay at a deluxe Disney World resort, plus park hopper passes for four from the amazing team at Wish Draws Travel. So there's $8,500 trip that we're going to offer to you guys for $100. And then this one, I did some research on this one today. The real dream would be able to have the freedom to go wherever you want on in the globe, right? Or on the globe, anywhere you want. So if you've thought about, man, I would love to go to Bora Bora, Tahiti. I'd love to go to Australia. I'd love to go to New Zealand. But those tickets just to get there are a lot of money. I looked it up this weekend because I have a dream to go to New Zealand in January. And those tickets are $2,600 each.
Oof.
Damn.
To fly from Atlanta to New Zealand. Okay, that's expensive.
It's a faraway place.
It's a very faraway
place. It takes a lot of jet fuel to get there.
So what Delta Vacations has hooked us up with is a $7,500 gift certificate. You can use it for any flight you want. So if your dream would be go to New Zealand, you could go and you have enough money left over to bring somebody with you and have spending money, okay? $7,500 from Delta Vacations, wherever you want to go in the world. And I think if you're smart, you're going to go as far as you can.
Poughkeepsie, here we come.
Here you go. Poughkeepsie. Go wherever you want with it.
That's my go-to.
Yep. So here's the trick on it, though. Where the raffle ends on like Wednesday night, so you got to jump on it today. $100 to either win a trip to the Dominican Republic, which is worth 10 grand. And again, like Kristen said, big time thank you to Danielle and Christina Lee. Then we got an $8,500 trip to Walt Disney World from Withdrawals Travel and or $7,500 from Delta Vacations. Fly wherever you want for just a $100 raffle ticket. And every penny of that goes to Burt's Big Adventure. Buy today. Buy the raffle ticket today. Burt'sBigAdventure.org.
The Burt Show.
There is so much to unpack here. Forget if you like football, if you care about football at all. Maybe you didn't watch 1 second of the NFL draft this weekend.
There was a draft?
There was a draft, a very long draft.
Very long.
And I wasted way too much of my life watching it.
You and me both.
So even if you don't care about it at all, something happened this weekend during this draft that has taken so many different turns. We got to cover it. So even if you don't care about sports, you will care about this.
Couldn't care less about sports. Balls just ain't your thing. Don't give a f*** about trophies or no Super Bowl ring. You watch reality TV, not sports. Center reports, so Mo's here to give you a reason you should care about sports.
So as Bert mentioned, this NFL draft is probably going down in history. I don't think we've ever seen anything remotely like this, and it got a lot of people interested in the draft, and I was definitely one of those people watching it more than I ever have in my life. And it all centers around Shedeur Sanders, who was the quarterback for the Colorado Buffaloes, and he is popular for being the Hall of Fame football player Deion Sanders' son. So coming into the NFL draft, he was widely known as the second best quarterback in the draft behind Cam Ward, who went first, which was not a surprise, and that was what everyone expected.
Can I help out in this one?
Yeah.
Because I've invested so much time in this.
Let's do it.
For those of you that don't know, this is the very first time in the coverage of the NFL draft that the analysts got it so wrong. They were all saying Shedeur is like the second, maybe the third best quarterback in this draft. And all the general managers and coaches, without us knowing, didn't feel the same way at all. But all the professionals were going, this guy does this great. He does this great. He does this great. He will definitely be the second pick, the second quarterback that's coming out in the draft. So as a 21-year-old or a 22-year-old or whatever he is, he knows, man. His career is set. He's going to be one of the top guys picked in the draft.
So he's going to go somewhere in the first round.
Oh, my Absolutely. God. He's going to make all sorts of cash.
We're thinking top five. Yes. Most people are thinking he's definitely going top five. There's obviously heightened attention on him because of his affiliation with Deion Sanders and all of the press that he's been getting. He's already got Gatorade deals. He's never stepped foot on an NFL field. So he's getting a lot of attention, which also leads to what happened with the draft.
And I'm just going to go ahead and assume that if you don't know anything about sports, you might not even know who Deion Sanders is. Deion Sanders is a Hall of Fame football player, played for the Falcons, played for the 49ers, played for the Cowboys, but he's very outspoken, man. He just says what he thinks all the time. He's a very confident human being, and he's got reality TV shows. He built a program up at Colorado, the University of Colorado, from nothing. Very outspoken and a big, big, big personality that sometimes turns people off.
I am 99% sure that's who I auditioned with like years ago when I went out to LA. Yeah. When I went, I'm like, I can't remember who it was. So yeah, they were thinking about doing a talk show around him, and it was going to be kind of like, The View, but he's going to be like the center and then he's going to have other people there. And so went and auditioned and nothing ever came of the show.
I don't know why, but a lot of people consider Dion possibly the greatest football player to ever play. And his charisma and personality matches his talent as well. And Tommy, you going to say something?
That show is
actually a thing now. Oh, it's called We Got Time Today. It's on Tubi. An app.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Either way.
So to give an example of Deion Sanders' confidence, which I think is the best one, when he got drafted and it was his time, the Giants were one of the teams who were looking to sign him, and they gave him a playbook, and he told them, I'm not reading all of that because I won't still be on the board by the time you guys draft someone.
Whoa.
And he was right. And he actually did back up all the talking in his career.
Yeah, every single time. This is what Deion did his entire career. So some people are put off by that. If he plays for your team, you love him. If he plays against you, you absolutely hated him.
So his son has a lot of that same confidence, and he carries himself with some of that swag that he appears to have gotten from his dad. So you can imagine people's surprise when everyone is thinking that Shedeur Sanders will go top five in the first round of this draft. Not only does he not go top five, he doesn't get drafted at all in the first round, which at first I was like, okay, maybe they got some word behind the scenes about his attitude, about his work ethic. He didn't go in the first round. Okay, not the biggest of deals, but then he didn't go in the second round. Then he didn't go in the third round, and then he didn't go in the fourth round.
That's the only thing anybody was talking about. Forget about all the kids that were being drafted left and right, and now their life was going to be changed. The only thing anybody's remembering from they're not even remembering who was picked first, Cam Ward. This draft will be known for the slide of Shedeur Sanders.
But, what kind of attitude must he have had when he went to go visit these teams and these general managers for him to have fallen that far from grace?
There's a lot of speculation about this. Because you got to keep in mind also that Deion is the only coach that Shedeur has ever had. So he's walking into these meetings and he got it all down, man. People are thinking he's not a coachable kid because he just kind of regurgitates what his dad has said.
I think that has a lot to do with it. I personally think it comes down to Deion Sanders because a lot of people comment on his quote-unquote arrogance, which I really think is just confidence. And we've seen a lot of quarterbacks come into a situation and be very confident. Joe Burrow was like this a couple years ago. Like, it's not unheard of for a quarterback to come into a situation and feel like I can change a team immediately. So his attitude has been that, and people kind of try to blame his arrogance, which I don't like. I think teams more so don't necessarily want to deal with what Deion Sanders might bring as a package deal with Shedeur Sanders.
So confidence is one thing. Disrespectful and entitled is another. And that's what I've been hearing is like he walked into these meetings knowing he was going to be one of the top five picks. So when he was talking to a lot of the teams before the draft, he's like, I don't want to go to your team. So he had an attitude about it.
Your talent has to outweigh the possibility of you being a headache in the locker room.
Yes.
And it sounds like those two weren't matching up.
And not only that, but as Mo is saying, not only you going to be the headache, your dad's going to be a headache also, because as I understand it, and I've done a lot of homework on this, it's just that he was never going to be a starter in the NFL anyway, at least most general managers didn't think he was going to start. So you're not going to draft him in the first or second. And if you're going to draft a backup quarterback, you have to start looking at the whole package here. Like, if he's not going to start and I bring him onto my team, if he's not starting and then my starter actually isn't doing all that great, then the fan base is going to be, bring in Shedeur. Bring in Shedeur. So you're dividing a locker room. And then you got Deion. You never know what Deion is going to say about your organization also if his son doesn't get to start. So you have to deal with the whole headache.
So before we get into the second part that took this story to an entirely different level, I think for Shedeur, this is actually a good thing. He may not see it now, but I think the just being humbled in this way, I think it's going to draw fire under him. When he finally did get drafted, even like the Cleveland Browns, that video went viral because they didn't seem too happy about it. It was very nonchalant. The clapping that happened in that
was
office.
That was a hard watch.
Weird.
Because I don't know anything about football. I mean, every now and then I'll tune in because I was a Jags fan for a hot second when I lived in Jax, and all I cared about was seeing if Trevor Lawrence was going to get drafted to us. But seeing him get drafted and the front office team that they fanned to, everyone seemed big mad.
Mm-hmm. Was he even the first quarterback that Cleveland picked, or did they pick another guy in front of him? before Deion? Because they picked two.
I'm not sure.
I don't know the quarterbacks.
They did, huh? Yeah, yeah. He might have been second. Either way, I didn't even like that he was dancing. I didn't like that him and his brothers were doing the TikTok dance after being drafted. I would have been so focused on proving people wrong. Mm-hmm. It would have been a moment for me to show, like, I mean, look what happened with Tom Brady, right? People mm-hmm. don't always get it right. Tom Brady went in that round, and he still turned out to be Tom Brady. So for me, it would be like, okay, this is your opportunity to show people who you really are. But before he could even get to that point, I mean, the prank call situation that took place was another part of this whole draft situation that ended up going viral. And it was horrible. And before we actually knew who it was, now we do. But at the time, we didn't. And here is him actually receiving this prank call. This is Shedeur Sanders with his family still waiting to be picked in the NFL draft. I think this was around maybe the third or the fourth round when he was still waiting to go. And he had a phone, which was a burner phone, that allegedly only the NFL contacts were in that phone. So he doesn't know how anyone outside of the NFL would even have this phone number.
And before Mo plays the audio, I just want to give you the mindset here. Here's a 21, 22-year-old kid waiting and waiting and waiting. And although he's taken the high road publicly, it's got to be ripping at his heart that he's embarrassed. He's probably a lot on the humiliated side also. And now he's starting to wonder, am I going to get drafted at all? At the end of the day, it's a 22-year-old kid wondering the same thing as what your kids that are graduating from college are wondering. I just spent 4 years of my life on my craft. Am I actually going to be able to be in the profession that I love? So you can imagine emotionally how he's going through this day.
And from what I can tell, there was so much buildup for him too that they even had this party where they had like a custom built bookshelf where they had all the teams that he might get drafted to. So when he gets drafted, he can grab that ball cap and put it on. So when I saw this video and he's surrounded by this entire party that he threw for himself, and then this happens, devastating.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It was sad. And he's filming it, just so you know. He's documenting the entire process. And there are celebrities there. His family is there. Like, this was supposed to be his big moment.
So I've seen the split screen on it where Shedeur has the burner phone in his hand and he's with family. And on the other side, it's the kid that's doing the pranking. And he looks like he's 22, 23 years old. He's got another friend in what looks like a pretty typical, like, college apartment looking place. And they're starting to prank Shedeur Sanders.
Right, but Shedeur at this moment doesn't know that yet. He's just receiving this call thinking he's genuinely being drafted.
This is Mickey Loomis here, GM of the Saints.
How you doing?
Good, how are you, man?
Good, been waiting on you.
Been a long wait, man.
No, for sure.
We're going to take you with our next pick right here, man.
Yeah, yes, sir, let's be legendary.
Yeah, but you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, man.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
What does that mean?
Are you gonna ask us what it means? And you was on the phone.
You heard that?
You said you're gonna have to wait a little bit longer.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
I don't know what that was. Nobody got this number though.
Man, he just got trolled, bro. They tripping now, fam. Now I'm crashed out, bro.
And there was this.
So after that goes viral, they actually ended up finding out that the person that did the prank call, who was pretending to be Mickey Loomis of the New Orleans Saints, it was actually the Falcons defensive coordinator's son, Jeff Ubrich, who made the call. Once that video went viral, I guess Jeff himself had a big decision to make, because you know that your son did this. And I mean, I would imagine as a dad, you're torn because you obviously want to discipline your son for doing something so horrible. At the same time, it's now going to put your family name on the line and put your job in jeopardy.
Did you hear how the kid got the phone number?
No.
So his dad, because he's the defensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons, and he was also the interim head coach at the New York Jets, he has an iPad that has everybody's contact number on it that they may or may not be drafting. So the kid takes the iPad, his dad's iPad, gets the phone number, and that's how he had Shedeur's number.
That's horrible, man. I wonder, as a dad, like, in that situation, kudos to him for getting his son to apologize publicly. I think that was commendable, but I feel like it probably was tough as a dad, because your family name is on the line now, and you obviously had nothing to do with it. But that was such a childish and horrible thing to do.
All right, now, there was an apology that the kid wrote on Instagram yesterday. The pivot for us here in Atlanta was that when this video came out of a kid that was pranking Shedeur as he dropped through all the rounds of the NFL draft, the pivot for us here in Atlanta is that it was the defensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons' son, which really sucks. I mean, it sucks no matter what, but Falcon fans were feeling so good about the draft for the first time in years and years and years. They were feeling so good about, like, their first round picks and great. They're like, what could go wrong? And then this is just a little bit of a black eye on it.
I'm assuming the kid who did the prank call, and it's not a kid, it's a man, because he's in his early 20s, right?
I know. But
you're young and dumb. There's no doubt about it. The frontal lobe is not fully developed, so I get all that stuff. I'm wondering if he was like, I don't think they could have predicted how much this could have blown up the way it did. At the same time, though, you're doing something so idiotic.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think, but I feel like Shedeur Sanders, it was just so much media coverage. Just been so much media coverage for him all year long that I think they did it with the intent of it blowing up like they did. Yeah. I just don't think they thought they would get caught.
I think so.
You got to know that if you prank call this man and he's documenting his entire draft situation, that it's going to end up being on camera. They're going to talk about it. It's going to go viral. Like, how do you think it wouldn't?
How'd they get outed?
From getting caught?
Yeah, how'd they get caught?
Wasn't it the dad?
Well, the video was online. You could see the faces of the kids that did the prank.
So they posted the video online?
Yeah, it was on Twitter.
Oh, I didn't know they posted it. I thought someone else posted that.
I don't know who posted it, but there could only be three people in that room, and it was posted. I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah, because I saw the video of them calling him, and I'm like, now you're even stupider if you filmed it and posted it.
I think they wanted the clout for it. I think they thought it would just be a harmless prank.
But not the smoke.
Exactly. Because now people are putting the smoke on it, and they're like, okay, maybe that was wrong. Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah.
it was a lot of hate in that.
Here's what I would like to ask you guys from a parent's standpoint, right? Let's just assume Jax is a pretty good kid, and he just did something really, really stupid. Parents, your kid is a good kid. But they did what that was so stupid? And how did you make them apologize? What did you make them do to make up for what they did? 1-855-BIRCHO. Because if I'm this dad, I think every parent probably, when you heard this story, said to yourself, okay, what would I do if I was a parent? Because my knee-jerk reaction when I was talking to my 17-year-old about it this weekend is, I'll tell you exactly what I would have done. You and I would have got on a plane or got in a car, and we would have, I mean, because certainly if they have his phone number, they know where he lives. We would have gone right to his house, knocked on the door, and I would have said, hi, Shedeur, Dion, this is my son, Hollis. Hollis, what would you like to say? And he would have had to apologize to that kid straight to his face.
I think that's commendable. And I think if this dad was behind him, making him apologize publicly, I think that was commendable as well. Because I know a lot of fathers might feel the need to protect their son in that situation, or even protect their brand or their name, and not put his job at jeopardy for something he didn't do. So I think it was a real stand-up decision to make him apologize in public. And going to him, I think, would have been even better.
Yeah, 1-855-BIRCHO. You got a good kid. They did something stupid, and you made sure that there were going to be some repercussions. What did you do?
But if you are Shedeur, are you opening that door? Are you taking that apology? Because I'm not.
I would do it publicly. If I'm honest, I would do everything Shedeur is doing now. Like, the way he answered it was, you know, we all have done something childish before. I forgive him. It's okay. But in deep down inside, I would be furious, but I would use it as fuel.
I will give him some credit here. Shedeur and Dion, they both have taken the high road through this whole thing.
Yeah,
Shedeur has even said, like, nah, it didn't bother me. I don't ever let negativity in, which is what you want in a quarterback anyway, right? Dion, I think, tweeted out, God is good. And that was the only thing he said. And they've been taking the high road on the whole thing. They really have handled it very, very professionally. Now, privately,
I think the conversation's going a little different.
I'm not so sure. Here is the apology. Here's exactly what he wrote on Instagram, okay? This is Jax. This is the 21-year-old. On Friday night, I made a tremendous mistake. Shedeur, what I did was completely inexcusable, embarrassing, and shameful. I'm so sorry I took away from your moment. It was selfish and childish. I could never imagine getting ready to celebrate one of the greatest moments of your life, and I made a terrible mistake and messed with that moment. Thank you for accepting my call earlier today. So apparently he did call. He had the number. I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me. And then he added Shedeur Sanders. So he did apologize on Instagram and called him. So
I just think Shador needs to use it as fuel. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a great example of what happens when you get to this level and people are going to pull hate out from all different types of angles. And like you said, this is actually good for a quarterback to show that he has grit and that he's going to handle everything professionally and ride through it.
I've seen a lot of fodder that this could actually affect the DC's job. Like, he might actually get fired for this. Do you think that's a possibility?
I don't think.
It's possible, but
He didn't protect those numbers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, somebody, you let anybody get to that iPad. I think they have grounds to do something if they want to, but I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
You know, while we're on the draft, I just wanted to say this also, because as I think I counted this right, there were 26 kids with Georgia ties that are now playing in the NFL.
Oh, wow.
This is really cool. Now, a lot of them went to Georgia. A couple of them went to Georgia Tech also. But I wanted to highlight some of the kids in their high schools also. Travis Hunter, who was the second pick in the draft.
The baller.
He's the baller, right? He went to Collins Hill High School. He's now playing in the NFL. You also have USC running back Woody Marks. Congratulations to Carver Atlanta High School, because that's where he went. Clemson linebacker Barrett Carter went to North Gwinnett High School in Suwannee. He's going to be playing in the NFL. So many. Utah State wide receiver Jalen Royals. He went to Hillgrove High in Powder Springs. He's going to be playing in the NFL. So many. University of, I believe, this is Texas San Antonio defensive back Zach Frazier from Cedartown, going to be playing in the NFL. There's an Ohio State defensive back, Jordan Hancock, who went to North Gwinnett. All of these names.
That's a lot.
In Suwannee, a Michigan offensive tackle, Miles Hinton. He went to Greater Atlanta Christian School. He's going to be playing. UNLV wide receiver Ricky White went to Marietta High School. You have Phil Mafa from Grayson in Loganville. And you also have a wide receiver out of Pitt, Kanato Mumphrey. He went to Decula, and he's going to be playing in the NFL also.
Oh, so exciting.
Can you imagine that? For your kid.
That's awesome, man. And I'm rooting a little more for Phil Mafa. Go Cowboys. That man got drafted to the Dallas Cowboys.
The Burt Show.
All right, Abby, so your family has a family group chat that went kind of sideways this weekend?
Yeah, let me bring you into my weekend, because I typically don't participate too much in the family group chat. Normally, there's just random stuff going on, people sending dog pictures, talking about what's going on their weekend. And on Saturday, in the middle of my big Nashville birthday trip, where I was out on Broadway having a good time, drinking a lot of margaritas, they decided to bring up one of the most important decisions that you can make as a new parent. So for context, my younger cousin Allie is pregnant. She's having her first kid in September. We're very excited. She's having a girl. And all of a sudden, around like 4 p.m. while I'm at Jason Aldean's rooftop bar, I get a text from her in the family group chat that said, okay, we've decided on a first name. We know what we're going to name our baby girl come September. They've decided they are going to name her L All-Star. We're very excited for her. But then she goes, you know, now we've got to pick the second name. We've got to pick the middle name, and we have no idea what to choose. And here's some live footage from the family group chat, and you can just see exactly where my head's at the moment my texts start rolling in. So she goes, okay, we need to pick a middle name. We're going to do L. What do we choose for the middle? And so I send her a first text. I go, well, Marie is a family name. L Marie makes sense. And then someone says, oh, L Joe Allstott might be cute. And then my brother Ben says, L Ben Allstott. That would be great. And then I'm like, why not Nicole? Nicole is one of the grandmother's names, L Nicole. And then someone says, LJ. LJ is a good middle name. And then I start texting and I said, El Casamigos Allstott. How about that? And then someone says, El Carrie Allstott. Carrie's my mom's name. And then I said, El Jason Aldean's. How about that?
Okay, here we go.
And then I said, El Broadway. El Kim Crawford. And then at some point, they're like, y'all got to stop. Yeah. But really, even though, despite all the jokes and the drunken ideas I was throwing their way, if you don't have like a family name or something with any kind of sentimentality, how do you choose a child's middle name? Because it really is pretty useless. You're not going to use this middle name for really anything.
Oh, how do yes, you do.
Really?
When that child is misbehaving, you better believe I bust out James Robert Mattingly. That gets used on a regular basis.
So you got to choose something with significance, but if you don't have like a grandparent name that you're set on or you feel good about, how do you choose this name?
So I wanted my first to have my middle name. I didn't really care about the first one, and the last one doesn't have a lot of honor in it either. But I wanted Hayden to have my middle name, so his middle name's mine.
Yeah, my middle name is my grandfather's first name. So I you're right. I guess it would always be surrounding some kind of meaning. But yeah, it's Glenn, and I never use it for anything.
Glenn!
Glenn. Mm-hmm.
Glenn. You don't you don't have Glenn vibes.
Yeah, I think that's why I don't use it.
For us, for our firstborn, we gave her... Fall has always been really auspicious for us. We met in the fall, got married in the fall. She was born in the fall, so we gave her the middle name Autumn because it represented something beautiful for us. And for the second one, literally, it was a coin toss because we liked two names and we pretty much flipped a quarter. And so Max became his first name and Rafe became his second name. Oh, and really? So it was just the second name that we liked the most.
I know it's hard. So you need to choose something with sentimentality because I feel like that's the only reason you give it to them. But then it also has to flow with the first name too, because you might have a name that fits well, like, oh, we have a grandma that we want to honor. But at the same time, it doesn't really fit. Doesn't work with the cadence of the name.
No, man, there's no one in our family named Maximilian or Rafe. We were like on baby naming apps. They have ones now where you can swipe both partners. And when there's a match on a name that you both like, you both get alerted. So that's how we narrowed it down. And then we tested it, like Kristen said, yelling them. Because we're like, that's how it's going to get Maximilian Rafewood. Put it down. Yeah. And yep, that's how you do it.
But why do you have to have a middle name?
Yeah, you really don't.
No, well, I feel like it feels like a cop out to not choose a middle name.
Why do we have middle names?
I never understood it. No clue.
But I mean, literally, if you don't want one, don't do it.
Cassie, are you Googling it right
I
now?
I am. They originated in ancient Rome, and they have various purposes, including honoring family members, preserving traditional names, and distinguishing individuals with common names.
It really feels...
I mean, you can't do a monogram, and I know every good Southern girl loves a good monogram, so that's why you need to have a middle name.
I was about to say, there's no way this girl is not getting something monogrammed.
The middle name is the side stage at Coachella. You're not on any of the main stages.
No.
You're on one of the, you don't make the main stage. You're just one of the sides. You don't even need it.
Forgot about it. Unless your name is like John Smith, I can see why you would need a middle name.
To differentiate yourself from everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here is Carlene. Good morning. You're part of the Burt Show.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing quite well. So I have an insane middle name. It sounds very common, but the story behind it is just ridiculous. So I'm a set of twins. I have a twin brother. And growing up, like when we were in the womb, mom and dad had his name planned out 100%. But my mom was convinced I was going to be a boy. So surprise, I was born. I was a girl. So I was twin two for like 4 days. So going to my older sister, they're like, hey, you have a sister. What do you want her middle name to be? And my sister pops up and goes, Kimberly. I'm like, oh, that's beautiful. Where'd that come from? Grandma's pool. I kid you not. I am Carolyn Kimberly Asher. I am named after a pool.
A pool?
Okay.
That's different.
That is absolutely different.
That's all I got.
Yep. And here's Christine. It's like, ain't no thing. I don't got no middle name. Hey, Christine.
Hey, good morning. P1 over here.
Thank you.
I am the baby of five, and I don't have a middle name. All my friends, all my life thought, oh, you have such a long last name because it's 12 letters long. That's why you don't have a middle name. All three of my sisters and my brother all have the same last name. They all have middle names. My mom said they were pointless because the only time you use a middle name is when you call them and they're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the truth.
She just knew that I was going to be an angel.
The most well-behaved child, so you don't need a middle name.
That's right.
Right.
The longest middle name is a 597-character, 40-letter-long surname.
Get out of here.
It would take me forever to tell it to you, but 597-character surname for a middle name.
That's, honestly, that's cruel and unusual.
You'd really have to be mad at your kid to go through all of those. I mean, really, really mad. Like... You pranked called Shador Sanders mad to use every single one of them.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
The only people more mad than Shador Sanders fans for him getting prank called are people who are big National Anthem fans, because some people are not happy with the way Steven Wilson Jr. performed the National Anthem at the NFL Draft. Now, we've all heard the National Anthem many times. We're all American here. And normally, it's just a typical rendition. You hear it, you put your hand over your heart, you call it a day. But Steven Wilson Jr. decided to put his own spin on it.
Say, can you see by the dawn's early light, was the valley we heard at the twilight's light?
It's like a Willie Nelson, mm-hmm. Johnny Cash is what I'm feeling.
Yeah, he definitely wanted to bring a little country spin to it. Some people really appreciated it. Like the clip that I saw on TikTok, I was expecting after seeing all the headlines that people were going to be outraged. But some people really liked that he had a more unique mm-hmm. twist to a song we've heard a bajillion times.
Yeah, I'm not mad at it. Uh-huh. I'm not offended by it. Now, what Fergie did to the national anthem.
Yeah, that's different.
That's heinous.
I like the little twist on it to give it something special. Yeah. It just seemed like at the pace he was singing, like it would have took about 25.
Be here all day.
The draft ain't starting until next week.
By the time we get to the end of it, it's time for a commercial break.
He did it so long, Shador finally got drafted.
That's good. That's good.
All right, I know in the last e-buzz I said I was going to get all the controversial figures out of the way, but we ran out of time because we had a lot to say about Blake Lively and her Time 100 gala speech. But Kanye West is going off again, and this time it has everything to do with who he thinks he should have had kids with. He said that he could have had a lot more hotels had he had had kids with Paris Hilton instead of Kim Kardashian.
I should have had babies with Paris Hilton over Kim Kardashian. You're gonna say, could you imagine if I had kids with Paris Hilton, how many hotels I have now? You get what I'm saying? Think about that. The Hilton. You know, the Hilton. Because yeah. I think I'm staying in the Hilton right now. Edition Hotels is a Hilton. You know what I'm saying? And Paris Hilton had the vision, and then that's what happened. Kim was like the Virgil. Kim was like Paris Hilton's Virgil. And that's what happened. If you like Arnold Schwarzenegger and you have a kid with a nanny, the nanny only power is to take your kids. So Kim's only power is to take my kids. I had a baby with an assistant, bro.
This is all during a live stream. And again, this just feels like classic Kanye, him rambling and rambling about nothing again, just to make headlines or to get whatever kind of ill feelings he has about Kim out of the way, because I'm sure she is not making his life any easier considering everything that he's been accused of, like potentially inviting Andrew Tate over while his kids were either in his studio or at his house. And I can imagine Kim feels like she does need to take the kids.
I think we can all agree the best move for Paris Hilton is not to respond to that. Like,
yeah,
just,
of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
The ramblings of Kanye West.
Wasn't there a movie, maybe it was a Jim Carrey movie, where you lived in a land where you said everything that was on your mind? You couldn't lie?
Oh, no, that was Mel Gibson, right, wasn't it?
No, that was Yes Man.
The Yes Man?
He couldn't say no. He could only say yes to everything.
So I'm thinking of a different slant on it. But Kanye lives life like it's a movie that you can't help but say everything that's on your mind. There is absolutely no filter.
Liar, liar. There we go. I will say Paris Hilton is a really smart businesswoman, and she knows how to play to these kinds of headlines to her advantage. Like, doesn't she do that little whiny baby voice just because she knows that being the character of the dumb blonde works to her advantage?
I think she used to, yeah.
Yeah, and I still kind of hear it come out every now and then. So honestly, I could see her taking something like this and turning it into some kind of fun viral moment. So in a way, I do kind of hope she takes a swing at it. But honestly, if she wanted to sit back and not say anything about it, I could totally see that route being good for her too.
Plus, she's still really good friends with Kim Kardashian.
That's true.
I hope she doesn't, because it only gives Kanye even more of a platform.
Exactly.
I know that she's looking at it and probably going, okay, at least my name's back out there, so maybe I should make it into a meme or a song or something. I hope she doesn't, because I'm so sick of that guy's name.
All right, Star Wars creator George Lucas is explaining one of the most iconic elements of the franchise that has puzzled fans for years. It's on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.